Have your Bible, go to Joshua chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6 this morning. I'm reading and studying, have been after a pastor. I've never met him, but I read a lot of his material. He lays out a year's preaching calendar at a time. I tried that. I tried it for a year, I couldn't do it. Tried it for a half year, I couldn't do it. I did make it 6 weeks. And so I just believe there's some messages that you ought to re-preach sometime. We sang some of the same songs. I believe it's all right to re-preach some messages. So I laid out 6 weeks ago the message, and this was for today. And so I want to preach it to you and just ask God to speak to all of our hearts this morning. Joshua chapter 6, we'll read verses 17. I've got a lot of scripture here in Joshua chapter 6 and 7. We'll read verses 17 through 19. The Bible says, in the city shall be accursed, even it and all that therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse 18. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. Verse 19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasure of the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdab, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger, listen to that, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. I thought that's interesting. In Hebrew, it's just pronounced I instead of Ai. But Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east side of Bethel, and spake of them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, for let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but a few. Verse 4, so there went up there of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate into the Sheba, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell unto the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord. Until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would be to God that we have been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say then when Israel turns their backs before the enemies? Now drop down to verse 10 through 14. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel have sinned, and they also have transgressed my covenant which I have commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and also have stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even amongst their own stuff. Verse 12. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you. This is what the Lord said. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, said, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee. O Israel, thou camest not, cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribe, and it shall be that the tribes which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the families which the Lord shall take come by households, and households by the Lord, and they shall take and shall come man by man. Drop down to verse 20 and 21. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw the spoils of a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all of Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they'd stoned them with stones. That's quite amazing to me. Some things that happen here are for our learning and also for our warning. For instance, we learn this. We learn the way to victory. I think Christians ought to walk victorious, don't you? No question that Joshua was the greatest military leader who ever lived. And victory, you think about this story here, victory in this case was very simple. All they had to do was just obey God. Hey, look at me for a moment. Why is it so hard for us just to obey God? All they had to do. Here they are coming back to attack the city of Jericho. You got to understand about Jericho. For 38 years, Jericho, they had been afraid of Jericho because it was a big, strong, it had a wall built around the city. But this time, God was given the orders. You know, when God gives orders, we ought to obey. I said, when God gives orders, we ought to obey. But listen to me, humanly speaking, these were the most ridiculous instructions I've ever heard of on how to capture a city. You're going to march around for 6 days, not say anything, just for 6 days. And then the seventh day, you'll march around seven times. And on the seventh day, you're going to blow the trumpet. And guess what? The walls are going to fall down. Lord, do you know what you're talking about? I mean, come on, you'd have questioned him too. You know you would have. But they didn't. They obeyed God. Why did the walls come down? Was it because Joshua was so smart? No. Was it because that Israel's army was so strong? No. Why? They came down because of simple obedience to God. They had obeyed God. God help us and God give us men and women who would just simply obey what God tells us to do without questioning every time. I'm saying the way to avoid defeat is to obey God. Y'all with me? This is all introduction. I'll get to the message. And then we look at the city of Ai, a small city. They just experienced the greatest victory of their lives. Israel's armies had, you know, went over and whooped Jericho. Now, it's a very dangerous time in our life after a huge victory. We go through a revival. We have a great revival service. We have a great service, and people are saved, and God bless us. Hey, that's a dangerous time sometimes. Because many times, because of pride. The Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth. When you think you're standing, you might be on the verge of a fall. Come to Ai thinking nothing can stop them from victory. Hey, you know what they weren't aware of? They were not aware that sin had slipped into the camp. God gave the victory at Jericho, but the seeds of defeat were at Ai had been sown at Jericho. Now, he said there's sin in the camp. God could not bless them and march with them until sin was dealt with. Now, hear me this morning. Hear my heart, please. One member of a whole army had stolen that which was forbidden by God. God said that silver and gold, all that stuff is to go into God's treasure. But one person had stolen. But I wonder this morning when the offering plate was passed, how many, maybe, in this auditorium, stole from God this morning. God takes that very serious. You can't rob God and make a success out of it, folks. Are you listening to me? Next, we see Joshua falling down in prayer. And God said, get up from there. There's sin in the camp. I thought that was so amazing. I was rereading it last night, that God interrupted a prayer meeting. Can you imagine? In here praying, God says, hey, that's enough of all that praying. It ain't getting high as the ceiling. Because you've got to have purity before prayer. You've got to have purity before prayer. Many people try to cover up sin by outward prayer or being super holiness and holier than thou and carry around a 50-pound Bible on your arm and saying hallelujah, glory to God. And you know what I'm saying? God said, get up and sanctify yourself. Sin had to be judged before God would bless him again. Now, here's the message. There's three great lessons from this story. Number one, the greatest can fail. We just said that Joshua was the greatest military leader of all times. We just said that the armies of Israel were the greatest armies of all time. And if you put that combination together, then it seems unbeatable. They had swept every battle until now. But right in the middle of those victories, there comes an embarrassing defeat. Listen, it's easy to look to some men and think that he can wave a magic wand and everything will be all right. Ain't so. You hear me today? The greatest preacher, the greatest pastor, the greatest evangelist really doesn't scare the devil one iota. The devil didn't get up this morning because I don't think he didn't go to bed last night either. But if he had, he wouldn't get up as much. Oh, no, that Willie Pace guy is going to be preaching. I'm scared in the world. What's going to happen? The greatest music program in the world, Brother Johnny, the greatest soloist, the greatest group in America today will not mean one thing unless God is in it. If we lean on the arm of the flesh, any combination you can put together will be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal unless God blesses with his power. Any victory here at HBBC must come for him, by him, and through him, or nothing will be accomplished that will avail anything. You believe that? Say amen. So how do we know if we're dependent on the flesh and not God? I think I gave you this little part a few weeks ago, but two simple things. Number one, if we don't pray. If we're not praying, we're dependent on self. If we're not praying, we're dependent on the flesh. A church that will not pray, and it's true of individuals, they're saying to God, we don't need you. We have everything under control. Brother, I don't think we got it under control. But when a church will fall humbly before God in prayer, seek his face, and confess his own weaknesses, then we are relying upon him, and he can and will give the victory. So number one, if we don't pray. Number two, by our lack of interest in the Word of God. You get up in the morning and you go through the day without reading the Bible. It's like starting on a trip somewhere you've never been before and not looking at a map. When people forsake the Word of God, when people forsake prayer, they're saying, God, I have everything under control and I don't need your directions. Can I tell you something? That always leads to defeat. Number one, the best can fail. Number two, we see the strength of the enemy. The strength of the enemy. We underestimate the devil so much, don't we? We really do. We underestimate. Matter of fact, a lot of folks even joke about the devil. But he's really no laughing matter. He hates what we're trying to do here at this church. The devil hates seeing people saved. He hates seeing families strengthened. He hates seeing having Christians restored. He hates to build a precious fellowship. Don't you know he's going to call up reinforcements? And don't you know he's going to get busy around here? Don't let him use you. We realize that he cannot be defeated through the flesh, though. He can only be defeated on our knees. It will have to be a spiritual victory. Why, preacher? Now listen, if you don't know this verse, you need to memorize it. We fight not against flesh and blood. Hello? Well, you don't know what Sister Flapjaw said. Don't make any difference. She's not your enemy. Amen? But against principalities and against powers. We need to realize that we have a tremendous foe that can only be defeated by the power of God and not by us. I heard a little about a little boy in the Sunday school class. The Sunday school teacher taught a lesson, a scary lesson about the devil. There's this little red-haired boy, cockeyed boy. He could hunt rabbits and squirrels at the same time. But the teacher asked him, he said, now you boys, no, you can't whip the devil, can you? That little red-headed boy thought for a minute and said, not as one as big as you've been talking about, but you give me one of my own size and I'll give him some trouble. You know the problem with that? We don't have one our own size. We really don't. You and I know his persistence. I don't know where I got this from years ago. Someone said the devil walked past our door 1,000 times just to find it open one time. You say no to the same sin for 999 times, but one time you let down your guard and you're in trouble. His power, his force, his deceitfulness, his deception, And there's only one power in this universe that can release souls from his grip, and that can conquer him, and that is the power of Almighty God. Number one, the best can fail. Number two, the strength of an enemy. Number three, one person can bring temporary defeat to the cause of Christ. One person can bring temporary defeat to the cause of Christ. Did you know that one person can hold back revival in this church? In any other church? I don't care who they are. I don't care who the pastor is. One person can. Now, here's the thing about it. They can't hold it back forever. Because when you get in the way, you can sidetrack it for a while, but God will eventually run it over you like he did Achan. When Achan sinned, it was Achan who stole the garment and no one knew it but him. It's an individual thing, but what God said in chapter 7, verse 11, Israel have sinned and they have also transgressed my covenant. He's saying that the sin of one man brought the defeat to the whole cause of Christ temporarily. Did you know that one member of this church can give a bad testimony to our whole church? Did you know that one member can go out here and do something sinful and stupid and you can hurt the cause of Christ at this church? By our lack of being in fellowship with God, we can bring defeat on the whole church temporarily. Until this man Achan, the Bible says, was, quote, searched out. He was pinpointed. You know, God is irresistible in his searching. When God begins to search, he'll find our hearts. Amen? He knows our hearts. He gets right down to the point. And the Bible says that when Achan was searched out, when he was judged, the next time they went to Ai, it was just a breeze. I believe with all my heart, and I think I know this church after pastoring it for 34 years. I know my heart's in this church. It has been. And I believe we're trying to move forward here for the glory of God. Now, today, are you a Nathan? Will your life and testimony hinder God's blessings on our church? You might do it for a little while, but God will eventually run it over you. He will take you out of the way. Suppose this morning, God, I'm glad we're not going to do this. But suppose this morning, like Joshua, we begin to call the tribes and the families and then the individuals. And everyone had to stand and look at Joshua in the face until the guilty one was found. Suppose we start this morning up here on this platform with this pulpit, with this preacher, with Brother Johnny, with our praise team, with our musicians, with our deacons' wives, with our Sunday school teachers, small group, with our zoos on, without all through the church. I mean, suppose each one of us had to stand and tell your spiritual condition before God today. Would you stand here and say lost or saved? Would you stand here today and say living in sin or walking with God? Would you stand here today and say, I have a bitter spirit, I have an unforgiving spirit? What would be your attitude towards your church today? What would be your attitude towards your youth, your teens today? What would be your attitude towards our mission program or our music program? What would be your attitude towards giving today? Are you an aching in the count today? Can I say something with sadness but truthfulness? I've been aching in my own ministry at times. Times when I had the wrong spirit. Don't look at me like that. I'm just human. Times when I refused to forsake sin, maybe. Times when I refused to witness. Thank God that I made things right with God before he had to remind me. I want to give you a true story, and I'm going to close with it. I may be off a year. But I think about 12 or 13 years ago, this is the third time in 34 years I've preached this message. Back about 13 years ago, I preached this message, felt so strongly about preaching it. And I preached it on a Sunday, and then Monday night, I got a phone call. And they said, preacher, so-and-so has been in a car wreck. A bad car wreck. I went to the hospital, found out what was going on, talked to the individual. The individual was hurt, had a broken leg, wound up having to have a rod put in his leg. And I talked to him, he was at home recovering. And he looked at me and he said, preacher, I believe if I'd have listened to you Sunday morning, he said, God was dealing with me so hard. If I'd listened to you Sunday morning, I don't believe I'd be laying up here in bed. He asked me to forgive him. I said, I don't have any problem forgiving you. You need to make sure God's forgiving you. He said he repented and God forgiven him. And by the way, when you repent, God will forgive you if you truly repent. Well, it wasn't too long after that. Something else came up along the same lines. And then something else came up along the same lines. That young man today, he's lost his family, his wife, his kids, lost his ministry. If you see him, he's walking as a cripple. And he said, preacher, I believe with all my heart, if I'd have just obeyed God in that service and got on my knees and asked God to forgive me, this would have never happened. I'm not God. I'm not judging. I don't know. I'm just telling you what he told me. This message today is not by accident, by God's divine providence. You're here today by God's divine providence. So I don't know your heart today. You don't know mine. But I trust if you're here today and you're not walking with God, today would be the day you'd come back to God. And whatever it is, say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I repent of it.